Amen. Let's pray.
Draw us close, Holy Spirit, as I read this passage of Scripture and as I preach. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts. May all other words slip away. May there be one voice we hear today. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the 15th chapter of Luke, the first 7 verses. Hear now the word of God. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Today is our 5th sermon in the series entitled, "In Matters of the Heart, Do They Really Matter?" And today's theme is it worth searching or chasing after the one? This series of sermons, all coming from Luke, is a gospel that is written by a Gentile. Both Luke and Acts are the only two books in the New Testament written by a Gentile. He has a different perspective than, say, a Jewish Christian, and he presents that difference throughout the whole gospel. The big question becomes in the Gospel of Luke, who is on the inside, who is on the outside? Just as Jesus turns over the table in the temple courts when he comes into Jerusalem later on, Luke talks about Jesus turning everything upside down. Those who we think are on the inside are on the outside, and those who are on the outside are on the inside. People who are the least, the last, and the lost of society, of the culture, are elevated. We see that talking about Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah. We see it talking about all of those people, shepherds even. We saw it several weeks ago when he talked about the centurion who had built the synagogue in Capernaum for people who did not like him. The centurion thought a lot of and had affection for his own slave, someone who many people in that society in that day would have thought nothing of the worth of a slave. They would have just cast the slave away. And so we see this topsy-turvy thing that's going on here in this Gospel of Luke. Who matters and who doesn't matter? And so we start at the beginning. There are those Pharisees and experts in the law standing off at a distance from Jesus, who has around him tax collectors who they paint with a very broad brush that all of them are evil. They would skim money off the top of the taxes that were collected. They would cheat people. All of them were considered that, and many of them probably were. And then there were sinners, people that Jesus, if Jesus was who people say he was, he should have known. If he was a Jew, a good Pharisaic Jew, he would have known that the people he was hanging around with were sinners. And it is not good for people, good people, righteous people, to hang with, to touch people, to eat with. And in the case of Jesus, not only was he eating with these people, he was welcoming them. They were having fellowship together. That made it even worse. If Jesus was who people said he was, he should have known better. He should have known better. And Jesus tells 3 parables in this gospel, this 15th chapter. I would say one of the most well-known of all the chapters in the New Testament, maybe especially in Luke. We hear the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Is it three parables or one parable told three different ways? I don't know. Scholars have their own thoughts. But he tells a story about one who had 100 sheep and one is lost. And the question becomes, what do you do? Jesus makes a statement like, it is, of course, a given. You go look for the one. You forsake them. It says they're in the wilderness. Wilderness is a dangerous place. You leave those 99 and go find the one. Now, when I went to college and majored in business and economics, what I learned about investment and I learned about business is that it is a combination of risk and reward. You can have a big risk and you can have a great big reward, but you can also have a great big loss in there. You can sometimes have less risk and then have the possibility of a little less reward. But you always wonder about the risk-reward. And as I, a business and economics major, I had to wonder, is there any way on God's green earth, if I was in charge of these 100 sheep, and it doesn't say anything about any assistant shepherds, it doesn't say anybody about having any sheep dogs, it doesn't say anything about any of that stuff, and I'm in charge of all of them, is one sheep worth 99. Let's look at the options. One is lost. I could walk over here and still see the 99, and I might possibly find the one, and I will have saved that lost sheep. But every other option is not as good. Soon as I walk over the hill, somebody could come and steal a sheep or two or three, steal the whole flock. It's in the wilderness. There are predators. There are animals that want those sheep, and they could kill some. If they came and killed some, then they could all scatter. Would I risk the 99 for the one? No way. No way. I don't know if it's an old sheep that's getting ready to die anyway. I don't know the value of that sheep. That sheep is not worth the 99. Now, strangely enough, that is what the Pharisees and the experts were thinking. Those people hanging around with Jesus are not of any. That's what they think. You better be hanging with them. He would not be talking with them. He would not be having fellowship with them. But do they? What I have found not only in this parable is something we find later on, even when Luke wrote it and the first hearers preached it. How much are people worth? That's a big question when you're living in the first century and there's persecution for Christians. We see it today. We see it in politics that makes its way into the church. We see it in our own daily lives, in the way we relate to people on social media. We see it where if you disagree with me, you are worth nothing to me. It's like watching Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank when somebody doesn't want his, you're dead to me. Our values are destroyed. Sometimes we think we're the most righteous, that our value to God is so much greater than other people. The struggle I had as a young person is that the church told me over and over and over again, watch who you hang around with. Watch who you associate with. You are better than that. Because the people you associate with will determine what you will become. And so we stand back and we sometimes, we don't say it out loud maybe, but we think we're better than other people who have not had the same advantages we have had. And sometimes we turn into Pharisees and Sadducees and experts in the law. But Jesus tells the parable not only for those, he told it to the tax collectors and the sinners. Those who had been ostracized by those who supposedly were the most righteous in the Jewish faith, who should have known better, who knew the will of God in all things. You see, they had treated them badly, and Jesus told them, there's a new standard. The standard is, you are worth more than the 99. And in fact, when the shepherd finds you, he's not going to put a leash on you and drag you back to the flock. He's going to pick you up and carry you. And when the shepherd gets home, he's going to invite the neighbors over, and we're going to celebrate that you have been found. And that is a wonderful thing to think about, that Jesus will leave it all for the least of these, the worst of these. He is the great Redeemer. That is a beautiful thought. But what do we do with us or the Pharisees and the experts in the law? We all like to be the people in the 23rd Psalm, don't we? Don't we? Yeah, I think we do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We love the thought of having a shepherd that way, because we never think that we've ever wandered off. But Paul wrote in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53:6 says it this way, we all are like sheep and have gone astray. See, what we need to remember as the church, as the Pharisees, as people who are experts in the law, that Jesus came and found us too. He came and found us too. And when we were found and we accepted that relationship that he offers us, there was more rejoicing in heaven that we were found over 99 who didn't need to be found. Yesterday I was working on the sermon, and I work on sermons in a unique way. Stopped back after lunch to come back, and Alan was working on something. And he said, have you started on your sermon yet? And I said, yeah, I've started on my sermon. You typed anything yet? Yeah, I've typed something. And he leaves. Now, Alan doesn't get involved in writing sermons very often, but he felt the need to call me and give me some pointers. And he said, you know, the sheep also have a responsibility to the one that walked away. We, the flock, need to worry about the one who goes astray. It's not all just on the shepherd. And I said, yep, you're right. The more I pondered it, we have a responsibility to those among us in the flock who might have gone astray. We have to care enough for them. They might have gotten lost. They might be hurt. They might be sick. They might be a lot of things other than just becoming those other people who are sinning. We, the flock, have to care for the other sheep in the flock. Years ago, when I was a Boy Scout, we would have these scout meetings every Tuesday night, and we would have these, it was this formal thing that we would do certain things, and then somebody would teach us a skill, and then we'd get to try to practice the skill, and after we practiced the skill and we finished it, we would have 20 minutes of basically running around, acting like boys, pretty much crazy. Most of the games we would play would involve running and chasing people. And so if we were playing freeze tag, if we were playing just plain old chase, or we were playing hide and go seek, or we were playing capture the flag or whatever, and I was charged with chasing somebody, I would always chase the people who I know that I could catch. And if people that I knew who were faster than me, I never tried to catch them at all. Because that was too much trouble. But the beauty of this parable is that the shepherd treats everybody the same way. The ones who run quickly, the ones who wander off slowly, every single one Jesus seeks. He seeks to save that which is lost. It is my prayer that in this Lenten season, we will begin to look at people in a different way. Look at them like Jesus. Look at them the way Jesus looked at us when we were lost, when we had gone astray. And go seek and find. And never give up on the one that is lost. Because Jesus didn't give up on us. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you did not give up on us. May we not give up on anybody else either. Because there is a world of people who are lost. There are people who've wandered off. There are people who are missing. And burden our hearts to go seek and find them. To comfort them, to love them, to forgive them, to pick them up and bring them back to the fold. And may we be willing to celebrate each and every time a lost is found. We ask this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
So